This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
One pick and a Super Bowl champ with the man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
Call him every trash, DMT for short. One day if we best, won't you peep the score? Sports Center Reed, gonna be top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drive Time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Dave, Chris, and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And a good April the 6th, 2021 to you and yours. It is DCR with you right here on 98.7 ESPN. I knew it was going to be a busy sports day. It was even busier than we anticipated. A horrendous national championship game. A horrendous start for the Mets. A beautiful game for the Yankees all around. Even Giancarlo Stanton delivering in a huge spot. A really good yet difficult loss for the Knicks last night. But the one thing that we didn't realize was Sam Darnold was going to be traded yesterday. I almost wish they had waited to trade him on a day there wasn't so much going on. But we have a lot to do. Here's what I'm suggesting. We'll say good morning to the guys in a moment. Here's what I'm suggesting. Let's just open up the phone lines. And if you want to go Knicks Nets, have at it. You want to go national championship game, have at it. You want to go Mets and blowing it from the bullpen again yesterday, have at it. I mean, anywhere you want to go, 800-919-3776. Let's say good morning, Chris Canty. How are you?
I'm doing well, Dave. I guess you're going with the sports smorgasbord formula this morning, huh?
There's so much going on. I'm honestly, and I'm being sincere when I say this, I'm overwhelmed with the amount of stuff we have going on this morning. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we do have a lot of stuff to get into, but I'm excited about it, man. A great sports day yesterday, and we're here to break it down to a fine powder. How are you guys doing this morning?
So, Schefter, by the way, he's going to join us at 7:15. Mike Tenenbaum at 7:35. Rick already, he's very feisty this morning. He already yelled at me. I think he made the right decision. I think I talked you into the right move, and you're very upset because of it, though.
No, it was an awful decision.
It was
and
the right
I blame
move.
You because I feel terrible.
Tell Chris why you're upset, and Chris will take my side, I believe.
No, because you challenged me. You said you have to at least stay up until the end of the Mets game and then as much of the national championship game as you can. So I did exactly that. I stayed up all the way through the Mets game, shut the TV off at the end of the first half of the national championship game, which wasn't very good, and could not have had a worse sports night, period. Great afternoon. Ate more stuffing than I think is humanly possible yesterday. All geared up, had the TVs going, and then between the Mets, the Knicks, didn't get a chance to see an undefeated Gonzaga. I mean, the whole thing was just awful.
So you're blaming Dave Rothenberg because he suggested that you change your game plan with your sports viewing last night.
For what was one of the biggest sports nights we've had in, maybe the biggest sports night we've had since the pandemic.
Yeah.
And you're blaming me.
Yeah, I'm blaming you. Because I should have shut the TV off when I wanted to, when they took out DeGrom after 77 pitches for some reason. Everything was good. Defense was great. DeGrom was dealing up at 102 miles an hour.
So what you'd rather do is just go to bed feeling like your Mets had a chance to close the door on the Phillies and sleep well and then wake up to the disappointment rather than to go to bed with the disappointment.
Yes. For the life of me, I don't understand how you could do that.
I actually understand that. I actually get where Rico's coming from with that one.
I actually do not understand how you could be up 2-0 at the end of 7 and be like, all right, let me just shut it down and go to sleep. I don't physically, like emotionally, I don't understand how someone could do that.
Well, Dave, because in his mind, with the outing that Jacob deGrom already had, not just what he did from the mound, but what he did at the plate. Like the game was already done. Like there was no doubt about what the outcome was going to be. So he gets to go to bed in a good mood, knowing that his team in game one of the regular season took care of their business.
Well, you went to bed thinking the game was won?
No, if I would have would it have been nice to turn the TV off after 7 when Jacob deGrom, I mean, would have went through 7 because he was cruising at that point? That would have been nice, but that wasn't the case. They took him out after 6. I stayed up. Which means now I cut 2 extra hours off my sleep. So not only now am I exhausted, but I'm also disappointed as opposed to fully rested and disappointed. I got worst case scenario right now.
Well, I think you made the right decision. I would defend you. I would fight for you. with the decision that you made yesterday.
No, it wasn't the right decision. Rico, it wasn't the right decision. You should have went to bed thinking that the Mets won that game last night. The Gonzaga had the possibility of an undefeated season. You should have went to bed with all of those great sports feels and then woke up to the carnage
morning. To desperation and misery. Yeah, that's not what you want. I think you made the right decision. I stand by it. All right. We have a lot to get into. So well, let's spend a couple minutes on this, and then we'll move on. And we'll probably filter back here a couple times during the show. But last night's championship game was horrendous. It was non-competitive. I mean, maybe we're talking about the wrong team being an all-time great because Baylor hammered Gonzaga. They destroyed them. They looked like if they played 10 times, Baylor would have won that game 9 times. That was a terrible championship game.
But it was exactly what Jay Will said it was going to be, right? I mean, he said that the defenders from Baylor, all of those guards, were going to be in the hip pocket of the backcourt of Gonzaga, and they were going to extend those guys a little bit further than they'd like to be, and that's exactly what happened. I mean, offensively, they pounded the offensive glass. I think they had 16 offensive rebounds, and they knocked down open shots for the perimeter. They had 10 three-point makes. So, I mean, Baylor went in there with a game plan to kind of exploit some of the weaknesses of Gonzaga, and they executed at a really high level, Dave. I mean, that was a phenomenal game, and their coach Scott Drew talked about it. He said they executed, you know, at one of the highest levels that he had seen all season, and he felt like the competition brought out the best in his team. That's exactly what played out on that stage last night.
Yeah, it was amazing. I mean, Jalen Suggs getting early foul trouble didn't help, but I mean that Baylor team. I mean, between their defense, which was suffocating.
Oh my God, they destroyed Timmy. I thought Timmy was the most important player for Gonzaga this tournament, and he was non-existent last night.
Well, they couldn't play man defense. I mean, they couldn't keep Baylor's guards in front of them. They couldn't do it. I mean, they decided to go into a zone late in that first half and actually kind of clawed their way back into it and cut it to 10. But I mean, that was, you're right. I mean, if that, and I don't know how much of it is due to the fact, and I asked Jay Will this question, is that, you know, sometimes when you see a team have that kind of win where Suggs hits that big three, like in a closely contested game like that, like emotionally it takes something out of you, a lot of teams aren't able to bounce back. I don't know if that was the case. But, I mean, just what Baylor did to them, man. They were more physical. They crushed them.
I guess we got our one game, right? We got the Gonzaga-UCLA game, and that was it. Because last night's game was terrible. I mean, really, when you think about it, that game was over 4 minutes in. It was. It was 11-2, 4 minutes in. It was never competitive. They never got within 9 after that. It was not a fun game to watch. The only reason you kept it on is because it was the national championship game, and you kept thinking, well, maybe they'll go on a run, and they're such a good team. But that was not a good game. It was a terrible basketball game last night.
I wonder what would have happened if these two teams were supposed to play earlier on this season.
Correct.
If it would have benefited Gonzaga to get a chance to play, even if they had lost to Baylor during the season, they weren't going into this tournament undefeated. I wonder if it would have helped in the grand scheme of things to see what they were going to be up against as far as, you know, the athleticism, the physicality, that kind of defense. Because Jay Will was right. I mean, everything he told us yesterday was what we saw last night.
He couldn't have been right about Illinois, huh? He had to be right about this Gonzaga losing to Baylor.
Who ended up winning the pool, Dave?
Me. Destroyed you guys.
No, you did not win.
I destroyed you guys. That's all that matters.
I was so right, by the way. I knew not to pick Gonzaga to win the thing. I knew they weren't going to win this thing. Now, I picked Illinois, with, you know, aided by Jay Williams.
That's much better. Yeah, much better. Pick Illinois. At least Gonzaga ended up in the championship game.
I get it, but my point was I was correct to not go with Gonzaga to win the whole thing. I just picked the wrong team to win it. Had I chosen Baylor, I would be doing these reads about how I won the whole thing, even though you didn't come close to winning the whole thing. You just beat 4 other schmoes on your show.
I throttled. I did to you guys what Baylor did to Gonzaga last night. It's pretty much what I did to you guys. That's what I did. I'm Baylor in this situation, and you, Canty, RJ, and Santiago or Gonzaga. High hopes, and then championship, just get a beat down.
But you didn't win the championship, Rico.
It was my championship.
I
set certain goals. This was the goal. Just
so
your
goal is tremendous mediocrity. But beat the other losers around me. That's
exactly
what you're looking for?
Correct.
All right, well, then you know what? Mission accomplished, yes. Congratulations, Rick.
I don't know how you guys feel about this stuff. I mean, Dave's a Georgetown fan. You know, Chris, obviously, Virginia, who had a tremendous tournament.
Come on, man, really? That's what we're going to do?
After you defended him with a stupid point about how he's upset for staying up late last night.
You know, my alma mater, Harvard, decided, you know, Ivy League was canceled. But, I mean, I think Canty would agree with me. When you have a chance, now we got no dog in the fight. We just wanted to see a good game. But ultimately, I wanted to see history made. Like, this bums me out.
Yeah, I was rooting for Gonzaga as well.
Like, it would have been nice to see it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the last time this happened was 76. It would have been nice in my lifetime to see an undefeated champion.
Yeah, I don't know about that, though, Rico. I found myself last night kind of rooting for Baylor to pull off the upset just because everybody said before the tournament even kicked off that Gonzaga was going to waltz through this thing. And after seeing UCLA come so close and to have that kind of heartbreak, it was just kind of like, I don't know, man. I wanted to root for the underdog. I love a good underdog story.
That game shouldn't have been that close to half.
No,
it shouldn't have been.
When it was 10, I was thinking to myself, boy, to play that poorly and be dominated to that extent and be down only 10, maybe they have a run. But instantly it was back to 15 right away in the second half. And
Jared Butler was awesome coming out of halftime, too. Awesome.
Killed him.
Knocking down those two threes. Those were huge shots.
How much does it take away from Gonzaga's season? When you think about this Gonzaga team now, do you think about, well, you know what, they just couldn't get it done, or they had an amazing year that just couldn't get it done?
You won't think about this Gonzaga team, Dave. You won't.
So this team is that's it.
Yeah, I mean, Jalen Suggs, you'll be like, oh, Jalen Suggs went there. Oh, yeah, that was that Gonzaga team that almost went undefeated. But it would be, it's an afterthought. They're a footnote.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what happens. When you don't finish the drill, when you don't win the chip, that's what happens.
Yeah, and they weren't even close. Like, at least New England was right there. Took a miracle of all miracles to not win that game. Gonzaga was pummeled last night.
Yeah, that felt like if me and you, Dave, went down to threw our headbands on and went down to Rucker for a quick run. What it would look like.
We could bring Timmy with us and Kispert. They all have headbands.
Oh, man.
He was completely taken out of the game last night, too. All right, so Sam Darnold, 800-919-3776. I wish it didn't happen yesterday, a day where there was so much going on. But, Chris, your initial thought when you saw that Darnold was dealt for a 6 this year and then a 2-4 in next year's draft to Carolina was?
I was surprised that this move happened before the draft. Like, I thought that, you know, the deal that Joe Douglas was looking for clearly wasn't out there in terms of being able to get the draft pick compensation this year. So I just felt like it made more sense for them to wait. But I guess Carolina kind of put a clock on this thing and said, you know, we want to know what's going to happen with our quarterback position before we go into the draft. And I think that's what kind of stepped things up in terms of these negotiations. And then the reality is this. Like, the places for Sam Darnold to go were starting to dry up. So it made sense that if you were going to draft Zach Wilson with the second overall pick, if you're moving away from Sam being your starter, if there's a deal out there that makes some sense, then go ahead and pull the trigger. I thought it was fair compensation for the player. You get a second-round pick next year, fourth-round pick next year, and a sixth-round pick in this year's draft. I mean, that gives the Jets 21 draft picks over the course of the next 2 years. I felt like it was a solid deal for both sides.
Sam Darnold screws poor Teddy Bridgewater again. Poor Teddy Bridgewater is going to get traded now.
Yep.
But it felt like there was only two teams really left. I mean, it felt like it was Denver and Carolina were the two teams that had question marks to that position. And Carolina, I mean, been hell-bent on trying to upgrade that position. I mean, they were one of the teams that were heavily interested in Deshaun Watson.
Well, we heard they
also
were all
Matt Stafford.
They would do whatever it takes to get him.
Yeah, and Matt Stafford.
Yeah, we're on Stafford, yep.
Listen, I mean, Matt Rhule, apparently when he interviewed for the job, when he should have been hired, which was a humongous mistake by the Jets, actually had a call with Sam Darnold. And it was during that phone call that, you know, Sam asked about, you know, culture and things that he would bring, not scheme, but like culture and things that he would bring to the building, which I guess really impressed Matt Rhule. So, you know, Sam's been on Matt Rhule's radar. They had a chance to make the deal. And it sounds like, you know, early on in this process, going back and forth, they were offering, you know, something that Joe Douglas kind of laughed at. And then, you know,
was it a fourth round pick, I think?
Yeah. And now as time progressed, they realized, okay, we want to solidify this position because we'd like to trade Teddy Bridgewater and have things, you know, straightened out before we get into this draft. They went up to the sixth, the second, and the fourth, which, I mean, Joe Douglas, I mean, I think he did good, but ultimately, does it all really matter? Like, if number two doesn't work out, if Zach Wilson doesn't work out, none of it matters.
That's all that matters. I mean, assuming they take Wilson, if he turns out to be really good, you're going to win. If he turns out to be really bad, it doesn't matter that you got a two, a four, a six, could have gotten, you know, multiple twos. It's not going to make a difference. You need, the one thing you need if you're the Jets is for that pick at two, your future quarterback, to be a big-time player. And if he is, then the Jets fans will be very happy. And if he's not, you're going to be looking at a long time of rebuilding this thing.
Well, Dave, he's got to be at least better than Sam Darnold is with Matt Rhule and Joe Brady down in Carolina, right? I feel like that's kind of the bar. Like, that would be...
Down the road,
that,
yes.
That would be the thing that would justify Joe Douglas and Rob Saleh making the decision to move off of Sam and to go in a different direction. Now, we all know from a practical standpoint, it probably makes more sense that if you're going to live and die with the quarterback as a general manager, you'd like it to be the guy that you drafted as opposed to the regime prior. And so that's why I felt like all along that they were going to take a quarterback at two. How often are you going to be this high in the draft with this kind of talent at the top of the draft at that quarterback position? It doesn't happen every single year. And so I just felt like it was the perfect storm of circumstances for the Jets to be able to transition from a guy that they took with the third overall pick 3 years ago.
Yeah, I just don't know. Like, all these people that say, you know, you should have kept Sam. Like, even Rich Cimini, keep Sam and, you know, trade back, accumulate all these extra first-round picks and everything else, and then build your team that way. Yeah, that sounds great. Like, I understand. Everyone loves the lottery tickets and everything else. But, I mean, this is Joe Douglas's life. This is his livelihood. It's easy to sit here when there's no repercussions for you and say, oh, yeah, trade back. Take one chance. Take another year with Sam and see how that works out. This is Joe Douglas. If Joe Douglas is wrong, like, he's probably not going to get another job as a GM in the National Football League.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
George with a home run. Stant with a home run. Montgomery was great. With the busy sports night, that must have been nice for you. Like, kind of move that to the back burner at some point.
Yeah, after the fifth inning, that game was over. I mean, Stanton almost drove me crazy because he let the O's pitcher pump that first pitch strike in there. And I was just like, the guy has walked the bases loaded and walked a run in that inning. Like, you got to know that he's going to try to get ahead in the count and throw a strike. But he made up for it with the second one because he took that 471 feet straightaway center. So, I mean, the fact that it was a grand slam and that it was a nice, tidy 6-0 game at that point, felt good about it. I was able to switch off of that and lock in on Knicks and Nets and watch a little bit of the Mets until the national championship game came on. So, yeah, nice stress-free baseball night for me.
For you.
Yeah, biggest takeaway, though. I mean, Jordan Montgomery was lights out. He was great.
Yep.
And your bullpen again. I mean, Sessa gave you two scores, then Chapman came in. I mean, he's got his fancy new pitch he wanted to show off. I mean, this is, again, I mean, the Orioles, when the Yankees play the Orioles, it's like, it's stat night for the Yankees in their offense.
Yep.
They can't wait.
Torres or whoever it's going to be. All right, here is Stanton taking the high road on his grand slam, saying he can't worry about the boos of Yankee fans.
Yeah, it was good to get that. Good to get us going and give us some insurance runs for sure. I try my best when I'm out there, so I can't worry about all of that. So
I actually feel badly for the guy.
Oh, stop.
I'm serious.
Stop yourself.
I'm serious.
Please. You don't feel bad.
Tell me why you feel bad for him, Dave.
Because I don't think
Yankee,
there's any
Chris,
reason
if he was
for every time. The,
Chris,
can,
if he was
I,
a Met.
Can I speak? Can I please?
No, because you're
can
so full
I,
of it.
No, I'm not full of it. I'm not full of it. Can I speak?
Yes. Do you feel bad for Edwin Diaz?
Can I speak? Might I have a chance at this moment to
Well, yeah, because this is going to be, yes, speak. Speak your lies. I want to hear him.
Because I think the guy's in a no-win situation. No matter what he does, he's under a tremendous amount of pressure. The Yankee fans will never look at him as their own. And at the drop of a hat, they will turn on him. And I think it's unfair.
Yeah, Dave, but if you know that, if that's his position, then why even address the boos in the post-game commentary? Like, why even talk about it? To me, if you know that that's going to be something that's ever present, you just ignore that. You go about your business. You try to do everything you can to help your team win. I mean, if you realize that the bar is unreasonably high, if you're never going to be able to live up to the expectations that the fan base has for
ever.
You, then why even worry about it?
I think it's human nature. When people boo you, that it has an impact on you.
You saw the way he reacted to after he hit that home run. Like how he threw the bat down, like how he hears it. Everyone hears it. You can't. I mean, you're right. Everyone's human. Like you hear that, and he's under a ton of pressure. And maybe he never gets the Yankees fans on his side. I think that'll change if they win a championship and he has a great playoff run. I think that'll change a little bit.
Yeah, but I mean, that's a long time away.
Yeah, but talking about it in the post game is not going to make it go away. I guess what I'm saying is there was nothing to be gained by even addressing it. Why even talk about it?
Well, it shouldn't be here in the first place, in my estimation. There's no reason.
Fans are going to do what fans do, though, Dave. Like, there's no way you can expect fans not to boo a guy. It's going to happen.
Coming from the guy who can't stand Edwin Diaz and will boo him at the drop of a hat.
Dave, true story.
Edwin Diaz has been a disaster. Edwin Diaz had one of the worst seasons for a closer in the history of the game. They had to take him out of that. You're going to compare Stanton to Diaz and the success the Yankees have had with the success or lack thereof the Mets have had?
Edwin Diaz wasn't bad at all last year.
Last year he was fine. 2 years ago he was horrendous.
Well, okay.
Horrendous.
But again, you're sitting here telling me and you feel bad for
Stanton.
And
I traded the prize chip of my farm system for him.
Yeah, let's avoid talking about that.
You brought it up.
Well, because you back me into a corner where I'm going to allow you to just be a fraud on the radio.
I am not a fraud. You're a fraud.
You're a humongous fraud.
I'm not.
What are they
nowhere
doing?
Near
I don't need
fraud.
To see Pilar leading off. It's game one. Relax.
Wait. Did I boo Pilar? No.
I don't want to see him
leading off. You know what? If you're a Yankees fan, you have the right to say, I don't like to see Hicks in the three hole. I don't want that. But to boo Stanton game one, you're a fraud. I'm done with all of you. I want to go to Victor in Brooklyn.
Hicks
Victor
had a big walk one. Last night. Big walk.
I'm a baby. Great. Yeah, where you're he struck out, really. Victor, go ahead. You're on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning, Victor.
I just wanted to say, first of all, I'm a diehard Mets fan, and like you guys say, same song, same dance. Unbelievable. DeGrom just can't get no one support if he puts his life on it. Forget it. I just wanted to make a comment on something Canty said a little while ago about Giancarlo Stanton.
And him taking that
first pitch for a strike right down the pipe.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, when you're in baseball and you got a pitcher that's wild, throwing nothing but balls, that's exactly what you do, Kenny. You wait for a strike.
Mm-hmm.
This guy could walk every batter coming up. So, you know, I just wanted to correct you on that.
Timeout. Listen, here's the one thing, though, Victor, and I understand why Canty said it. Giancarlo Stanton's not going up with the bases loaded to draw a walk. What Canty's talking about is that they're obviously, I mean, you're not going to, you're going to pitch. Even though Stanton is struggling, you saw what he's capable of doing. Like, how many strikes is Stanton going to get in that at bat? He's going to try to get ahead of him early and then, you know, pitch around the strike zone and make Stanton get himself out. So Canty's point was, the guy's going to have to throw a strike. He's going to want to get ahead, so you ambush him. The first pitch might be the best pitch because you're trying to do real damage there. You're not trying to draw a walk. That's not why Stanton is on the Yankees.
No, not at all.
Well, they boo him if he walked. We know that.
No, and he did what he had to do. He got down to the count, and then he made him pay. The guy made a mistake right over the middle of the plate, and then it ended up 471 feet.
God have mercy. Tried to hit that one to the L train, didn't he?
He almost did.
Jesus.
The guy's got stupid power. I mean, it's ridiculous.
He's a huge – what is he, 6'7", 270?
No, he's smaller. He's not
that much. That big. He's like 250.
He's 6'6", probably. He's probably lighter than that now. He looks like he shedded some weight.
Yeah.
Still a big man. Eli in Washingtonville. He's a specimen. You're on 98.7, Eli.
Yeah,
have you had to give a specimen, Dave?
Eli, please go ahead. Go ahead.
Guys. I just want to say, listen. Yeah, guys, y'all don't deserve a guy like DeGrom, that pitcher. This guy, every time he goes out, he's a masterpiece. But that's not really why I'm calling. I'm calling because I was trying to get through the Michael Kay show yesterday because Don said something that was...
Call the Michael Kay show.
No, stop it. Stop it. I want to hear this. Eli, I want to hear it. Finish your point.
Yeah. Listen, the guy said that if Eli Manning would have been in the same situation as Sam Darnold is now, he would have had the same result.
No way.
If Eli Manning had a bad coach and had the wide receivers and the personnel that Sam Darnold has, that he would have had the same result, that Eli Manning would have not been a Super Bowl-caliber quarterback.
No.
What do you think about that?
That's not true. Well, listen, I don't think you're winning a Super Bowl with what the Jets had around him, but
no.
Eli Manning would have been a whole heck of a lot better than Sam Darnold was with the Jets.
And he would have played all 16 games.
We do know that.
Eli Manning doesn't miss games. But that, again, you can't overlook that, people. You cannot overlook the fact that the guy cannot stay healthy. That is a huge problem.
It's a huge piece. And it's
which makes it even more risky. But it makes it even more risky to all of a sudden now... take the chance of trading back from two when you're in a prime spot to take whichever quarterback after Trevor Lawrence that you want to run it back with Sam for a year. He's got hurt every single year. Every single year. So what happens now?
And
so how are you going to judge? Well, he plays, I mean, he plays what? 12 games next year? What does he end up playing? Then you're going to be able to judge moving forward if this is your guy?
You know what? It's not your concern. So that's nice. Now, you listen to the entirety of the K-Show. Don said that Eli Manning wouldn't have been any better than Sam Darnold had he been on the same situation.
Now, here's the thing with Don. Don is falling into the Mel Kiper trap where he will not get off his take. His take the entire time has been pro Sam Darnold. They should keep Sam Darnold.
Right.
So now he's willing to... Now he's willing
but
to do whatever
it takes. But he's disparaging his guy for that?
Yeah, he's whatever it takes at this point to make sure that he stays
strong.
He
really loves this point, huh?
No, but the other thing with Eli Manning is as bad as he looked in the first year, and he did not look great. Like, there were times like, you're like, this guy's going to get himself killed. He did not... He won enough that the Giants were never in a position where they had to make this decision.
They went to the playoffs his second year.
Exactly right. But that's the point is now... I mean, and this isn't all Sam Darnold's fault, but after 3 years... You haven't been great, and on top of it, your team has been so bad that you have the second overall pick. That's why we're having this conversation. If the Jets had the 10th pick or the 12th pick, we're probably not having this conversation right now.
No, I think you're certainly not, and he would have been better than he's been, and he's been awful. Absolutely awful. Let's take one more, and then we got CMT coming. Mike in Hoboken. Mike, you're next up.
Just because you have the number two pick doesn't mean you have to reach for a quarterback. None of us heard about this guy last year,
Mike,
a year ago.
Mike,
Kyle Shanahan. You guys have shiny quarterback syndrome. You want the new shiny toy because that's what you want. And Chris, by the way, how much money do you need? When's enough money? Is there enough money? There's never enough draft picks because it's all odds. You're going to fail on a lot of these.
Yeah, you know who tried that once upon a time? The Cleveland Browns with Sashi Brown and Paul DePodesta. In 2017 and 2018, it didn't get turned around for Cleveland until they got a damn coach. So, I mean, the draft picks are great. Having draft picks are great, but you have to have a coach. You have to have the infrastructure in order to develop said talent. That was my only point. You got 21 draft picks over the course of the next 2 years. How many draft picks do you absolutely need? How many?
When did they make the Herschel Walker trade, Dave? You're the historian.
Oh, God, I don't know.
That was the early 90s? What was that, 90?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was in 1989, October 12, 1989.
Yeah.
The Herschel Walker.
Okay.
Terrible. Deal. Terrible. Otherwise, the Cowboys would win a Super Bowl forever. Not for that trade.
I just, and people bring up like, oh, yeah, do what Indy did. Indianapolis traded back.
They got a quarterback, though.
Exactly right. They had their quarterback. Joe Douglas obviously is not sold on Sam Darnold being his quarterback.
That's the whole point. Like, I just don't understand it. Like, you're talking about, well, we shouldn't reach for a quarterback at two. Well, if you don't have a quarterback that you think can do the job, what difference does it make? What difference does it make?
I think it's
Jacksonville
obvious.
Had a hell of a team. You know what? They had Blake Bortles as their quarterback. How did that work out for them?
You guys have shiny quarterback syndrome, and it's affecting your thinking. I think is the problem here.
Yeah, but correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, when Dallas made that trade, they had selected Troy Aikman.
Yeah, I think also.
Yeah, but you make that deal because you have your quarterback. You have that position solidified. You've got your guy.
Solidified the quarterback spot. I mean, we agree wholeheartedly. All right, let's go. I mean, we played incorrectly, but we still like to play, and that is CMT.
To cuddle.
Tell you what, Rico. I can chase him down. I'll hold him down for you.
To marry.
I don't want to give up the meat.
Or to trash.
I think I'm emotionally broken.
That is the question.
And a fine Tuesday morning.
It is the Tuesday.
Hello to all of you. And we start with some basketball. We're going to cover a lot here. Knicks lose to the Nets last night by 2. Brooklyn, though, they suffered, I think, what we would all agree is the biggest loss of the night. James Harden left 4 minutes in. Steve Nash said after the game Harden's tests were normal. He moved to side with caution. But cuddle, marry, or trash the Nets, big picture here, still as the favorites to win an NBA title.
Ooh, to win the NBA title?
Lead us off.
I'm going to cuddle
Kevin Pillar of CMT.
I'm going to cuddle it. I cannot fully marry it yet because I would have a hard time because we're just assuming that they're going to be healthy. So if I'm going to assume their health, I'm going to assume that the Lakers are healthy as well with a fully rested LeBron James and Anthony Davis.
Yep.
I would have to lean more towards that so I can only cuddle it.
I will agree. I think you said favorites to go to the finals. I would marry that wholeheartedly. But they're the best team in the East, and it's not close. They're the best or second best team in the NBA. I can't fully marry it, but I confidently and comfortably cuddle that.
In your boxer shorts?
In my boxers, yes.
Which is an aggressive cuddle, if you think about it, with the size of the pee hole in the boxer short.
That's the beauty.
I guess.
Yeah, it's the beauty.
Yeah, I'm going to cuddle this one, but I don't think I'm going to stay tonight. We're assuming that they're going to be healthy, but I don't know that they're going to be healthy. Like, we haven't seen the big three play that many games together. What is it, seven games together? I don't know, man. There's something about that worries me with this team. And then James Harden having to go back out of the game last night with the hamstring. I worry about it. But still, they're the best team in the East, and they're going to be there in the end. So that's why it's a cuddle.
I don't think Dave meant that with any kind of sincerity in terms of niceness, calling Rick the Kevin Pillar of
it wasn't meant to be nice.
Yeah. Well, but listen, I mean, he hasn't seen me play, but I'm defensively platinum glove.
Well, so is Pillar.
That's what I mean. I mean, yeah. I'm there. They call me the bus boy because I do lead off. I set the table for the team.
I'm sure you're better than Pillar in the leadoff spot.
All right, you guys touched on some Mets earlier. Let's go back to it. The Mets lost yesterday, obviously, but that's not what I want to talk about here. The topic here is Steve Cohen said before the game his expectations for this season are that he expects the Mets to be a playoff team right here and now in 2021. So I think that's fair, but cuddle, marry, or trash Cohen coming out and saying that before game one.
I'll go first. I'll marry it. I love it. You know what? He spent a lot of money. They have a talented team. They massively underperformed last year. The expectation is that the Mets will be a playoff team. So I have no issue with that. I like it. I love it. I'll marry it. I'm done.
Yeah, I'm going to marry that, too. I make a huge trade for one of the best players in all of baseball and sign him to a $300-plus million contract on the eve of the regular season kicking off. Oh, you're damn right. That's got to be the standard that we're going to be in the playoffs this year. So I'll marry that. I love Steve Cohen coming out and saying it.
Yeah, I'm going to marry it. I'm going to get it pregnant. Not even a question. Love it.
Are you going to get it pregnant before you marry it?
No. We'll go through.
Okay. All right, good.
Well, you know what the best part is? I will marry us because I'm capable of doing that. And then I won't make the same mistake
Can
I made on my wedding night.
Can you marry yourself, though?
I don't know. I don't see why I can't.
By the powers vested in him.
Yeah, it's like representing yourself in court. Why not?
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah, well, then you have a fool for a client. Isn't that the old adage? I don't think you can marry yourself.
Why couldn't I marry myself? I absolutely could.
I don't know.
I do the ceremony, and then when I have to do the vows, I just...
So what, are you going to run back and forth?
Would you have to do a
run? Where are we doing the ceremony? Where am I doing the ceremony at?
You're going to go next to the woman, and then you're going to go in the other spot? I mean, you're going to go... Do you take her... And then you're going to run over to that spot? Yes, I do. Thank you very much. Like, have a convert. It would be like a Jerry Lewis movie.
Well, I could have a Rick puppet, maybe. I have a Rick puppet.
You might need a wardrobe change also.
Stand-in.
All right, Giancarlo Stanton. Well, yesterday, he did this.
Driven deep to left center field. There it goes! See ya! A monster grand slam for Stanton. And the Yankees lead 6-0.
Cuddle, marry, or trash Stanton's grand slam coming as a result of all the motivation he got from the booing.
Oh, I'll trash that. Again, I'm not going to give too much credit to the fan base, whether he performs well or whether he sucks. But, I mean, Stanton is supposed to hit home runs. That's what he does. And I guess the day off from Aaron Boone meant a lot more than we all gave it credit for. So Stanton took advantage of the situation. Good on him, but I don't think it's because of the fans. I'll trash it.
Yeah, I'll trash that as well. You're going to mercilessly abuse the guy, and now we're going to give you credit for getting him to hit a massive home run? No. Trash it with a capital T.
Yeah, I'm going to trash it. I'm going to give credit to the 92-mile-an-hour fastball right over the heart of the plate.
Love it.
All right. Baylor, national champs. They beat Gonzaga. But the question is, cuddle, marry, or trash Gonzaga's win on Saturday, the UCLA game, now taking a hit in terms of the greatest games ever because now we know they didn't finish the deal.
I'll cuddle that. I think that it diminishes it. It has to. I mean, if they would have won the title, you'd say undefeated, first team since 76 in Indiana, and they had an epic win. But I think a lot of the, not all of it, but a lot of the epic win is taken away, so I will cuddle that statement, yeah.
Wow, this is a tough one. I want to trash it. I do. Because it was such a great game.
Trash the win?
No, I want to trash this taken away from that loss taken away from that game because it was such a special game.
You do what you need to do.
I don't want to be just in the middle like Dave. That's such a weak take.
Wow.
I'll trash it. It's a great game. Great shot. Well played game. I'm going to trash Dave's awful take.
I'm going to cuddle up to that take. I do think it does take it down a peg because the Zags weren't able to finish the drill and win the national championship. But when we think of March Madness, that will absolutely be one of the moments that people remember for all time.
Go ahead, Chris.
No, go ahead, Dave.
No, I was going to say, I can't even have a take now. I can't have a take without
you
going
really
after.
A take.
That's why you have your take. You have your opinion. I have my opinion. That's the way the world works.
Well, it's not even really an opinion. It's kind of just like you in the middle.
That's how I feel. I don't think it ruins it, and I don't think it's great anymore. I think it's still a very good moment.
And with Boxer, I would actually call it like an inappropriate cuddle is what it would be.
It's fine.
It's almost too aggressive.
Comfortable with that.
All right, and last, Aaron Rodgers made his Jeopardy debut last night.
Over to our two-day champion on the end. Scott, did you come up with the correct response? Who wanted to kick that field goal? That is a great question. Should be correct, but unfortunately for this game today, that's incorrect.
Now, he did not, in Final Jeopardy, attempt to answer the question, just literally wrote who would kick their field goal. And Jeopardy on Twitter actually released some of the uncut footage of afterwards, which I can only assume is when the music is playing out and they're talking, but you can't hear them. I think this is how the conversation actually went.
I can see you on the podium. And I was like, please put something about the field goal on there. You will always be all time in my book, my friend. My first show, and that's what you said at the end. Thank you for that.
I wonder if Rodgers actually went to them and said, I know you don't normally air that. Can you actually go and release that just to get the message out there? I still hate the field goal thought. But cuddle, marry, or trash Rodgers as the best Jeopardy guest host so far.
Ooh. Oh, that's easy for me. I'm trashing that.
Oh.
No shot. I thought Ken Jennings was outstanding. Katie Couric did a great job. I was underwhelmed by Aaron Rodgers' performance as host of Jeopardy last night. Now, it's his first show. We'll see if he gets better, but I'm definitely trashing that.
Underwhelmed? Wow.
Yeah.
Now, Rick, I'll answer just because you'll, I guess, get angry, and you can, and that's fine, but I don't think it's founded. I didn't watch it yet. I've told you, I tape and I watch it the next day. So all this conversation about Jeopardy, now I know who won. Now I know everything about last night's episode. So this is really putting a crimp in my style. I can't answer the question. I'm sorry. I haven't seen him yet. I agree. I thought Mike Richards was excellent. I thought that Katie Couric was good. I thought Ken Jennings was sensational. But I can't make a decision on this. You can ask me this question next week and I can. This week I can't. And I won't.
All right. In order to try to save, you know, Aaron Rodgers ever coming on the show after what Canty just did, I'm gonna have to marry it. I have to. I have no other choice. Otherwise, there's no chance we're getting Aaron on the show.
Maybe Chris is out of the interview now. Also, maybe it's just
I just do it by myself.
101.
We'll just record a phone call.
Mono, mono with you and Aaron Rodgers. All right, there you have it.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Big time NFL insider Adam Schefter. Good morning, Adam. How are you?
Dave, Rick, Chris, good morning. Sorry for the miscommunication yesterday. I apologize about that.
Well, we are thrilled to have you today. So let's get right to it. From the Jets' standpoint, do you like this trade of Sam Darnold for them?
Listen, the Carolina Panthers' first offer for Sam Darnold was a fourth-round pick. It started with a fourth-round pick and wound up at a sixth this year and a 2 and a 4 next year. So, yes, he is the former number 3 overall pick. And yes, you are not getting back what you gave up to get him. But the fact of the matter is they loved Zach Wilson. They were going in that direction. It's not an ideal circumstance to have two quarterbacks in the building as much as some other teams have been able to make that work in the past. And if you're going to start over with all these picks, you might as well do it the right way. Give Sam Darnold a chance to go on. Get 3 picks back. I actually think, I really do, that it's good for the Jets. It's good for the Panthers. And it's good for Sam Darnold. And that's how a trade should work out, that everybody should be happy. And in the end, I think that's exactly what happens here.
Adam, was Carolina the only team that was interested in trading for Sam?
It was the only team involved in active discussions for Sam. There had been other teams that had checked in. At one point, there had been some communication with about seven different teams early on. And then teams make moves, right? Washington goes and signs Ryan Fitzpatrick. Chicago goes and signs Andy Dalton. Denver still hasn't made a move. I think now, even though there had been that much contact with that many teams, really in the end, it had come down to Carolina and Denver, but Denver really wasn't actively engaged at all. So to me, to answer your question, yes, in the end, Carolina was the only team. Now, the Jets could have decided to trade him, let's say, February 15th, and maybe there would have been more interest. But let me tell you something. If Joe Douglas ever got offered a one for him, he would have made the move. They could never get that done. You know, at one point, San Francisco was talking to them about Darnold, and then San Francisco went a different direction. And so you're looking for the right return, a fair return, and until you feel like you had it, you're not going to move them. And I said yesterday, I said on GetUp, as we were talking, they're not going to trade Sam Darnold until they get what they believe is a fair package. And in the end, they felt like the three picks were a fair package.
And Shefty, I wanted to ask you about the timing of this move, because I was wondering why the Jets didn't wait until they actually drafted a quarterback at two. Why make the decision weeks before the NFL draft to trade their starting quarterback, Sam Darnold?
Because why would you wait? Again, for all we know, Carolina goes and trades up to number four.
Mm-hmm.
Carolina decides, you know what, let's go sign, let's go try to trade for Deshaun Watson, who's embroiled in his own situation right now. And what if the Jets lose the Panthers option? What if they lose that option? Who's trading three picks for Sam Darnold? Tell me.
Well, here's the thing. I was just wondering that question. I mean, I didn't think that Carolina would trade up to four with a division rival in the Atlanta Falcons in order to get a quarterback. I just wondered, you know, we've seen teams in the past with high picks decide to wait to move on from the incumbent until they draft their quarterback. We saw it last year with Joe Burrow. I was just curious as to the timing of it. I thought that the Jets would wait to make that decision.
Yeah. What I would say is they knew they were going quarterback at two. That was never in question. And you're not going to wait when you feel like you've got what is the best offer to date, the fairest offer, and who knows what could happen between now and then to lose out on that offer. And then what if you do lose out on that offer and maybe you don't have really many offers at all, and now you've got the two quarterbacks going to camp this summer, which is not ideal. And not only is it not ideal because you have to make a decision on Sam Darnold's fifth-year option. And so now if you decline that, now you're really stuck with the guy. So they wanted to move in that direction, and they just felt like the time to do this was right now.
Adam Schefter with us here, 98.7 ESPN. So I would imagine, Adam, it seems like a no-brainer. This clears the path. Zach Wilson will be the Jets' pick at number two as far as you're concerned now, or is that still open for interpretation?
I texted him yesterday afternoon. I said, welcome to New York. Yes.
Wow, the confidence.
Wow.
This is why we love having Shefty on. Shefty, you mentioned Deshaun Watson, and Carolina seemed like one of the teams that was really interested in Deshaun Watson. Where do we stand right now as far as what's going on with this situation, first and foremost, and is there still a possibility with everything he's dealing with that he could still be traded?
Well, listen, we have the Houston police investigating him. We have the NFL investigating him. I'm sure we have the Houston Texans looking into it. Other teams that were considering a move. And let me say this. Nobody wanted Deshaun Watson any more than the Carolina Panthers. Nobody. And they wrestled with that decision about what to do, whether they could get him, what would they would have to give up to go get him. And in the end, ultimately, they decided to trade for Sam Darnold, which tells me either they didn't think it was worth trading for Deshaun Watson, they didn't think the Texans were going to trade Deshaun Watson, where they didn't like where that whole situation was going with Deshaun Watson. It absolutely is one of those. Because their owner, David Tepper, was enamored with Deshaun Watson. And he played in Clemson. The whole area knew him. They needed a quarterback like that. It would have been perfect. They had long discussions about him. They seriously considered making a major run at him. And it's one of the questions I'm curious about today. I'll call down there today to speak to them. But something changed to where they said, we're not going to do that, and we're going to go with Sam Darnold. And I don't know what that is, but obviously either they couldn't get him or they weren't going to get him.
Shefty, what happens to Teddy Bridgewater now?
He gets moved. And, again, it's a limited market. There are not a lot of teams out there. Who could use a quarterback at this moment? Denver could use somebody to compete with Drew Locke, and the Broncos general manager, George Payton, was with the Vikings front office when they had Teddy Bridgewater there in Minnesota. Maybe the Saints have had him before and are familiar with him. The Patriots still are looking for another guy to team with Cam Newton. Outside of that, I don't see an obvious landing spot, but I do see Carolina moving on from him. I don't think they're going to keep him a year after paying him. The question is how much of that salary they'll have to absorb. And I go back to the time of the Matthew Stafford trade earlier this offseason. One of the very, very first teams in on Matthew Stafford was the Carolina Panthers, and they offered Teddy Bridgewater and the 8th overall pick to the Lions for Matthew Stafford, and the Lions ultimately decided to go with the package offered from the Rams.
Adam Schiff, that's here, 98.7 ESPN. I know Rick wants to ask you about the backup quarterback situation with the Jets, but I want to quickly sprinkle in the Giants here, because you said that you already welcomed Zach Wilson to New York. That's pretty much done in your mind. What are you hearing with the Giants at 11 right now?
Well, they're in a good spot here, because what's going to happen is you're going to see minimum 3, I think 4, potentially even 5, although that becomes more and more in question every day, quarterbacks go. The Giants would love to have 5 quarterbacks go in front of them. Because if 5 quarterbacks go in front of them, there's a heck of a player that's dropping to number 11 in their slot. And with each of these quarterbacks that goes, and that's why it was not a great thing for the Giants to see Sam Darnold traded to the Panthers yesterday, because that means that the Giants may have the selection of one fewer blue-chip player at their spot. We wait to see, but the Giants want 5 quarterbacks to be drafted in front of them if that's possible. That's what they hope. That's what they hope.
Shefty, so Dave kind of mentioned it. I would love, I mean, you're drafting Zach Wilson. I would love a veteran presence, obviously, in that quarterback room. I think Alex Smith would be a great fit. Have you heard anything about what the Jets are considering doing? Does Alex Smith even still want to play? Like, what are they? Have you heard anything about their backup quarterback plans?
Yeah, it's funny you ask that, because over the weekend I was talking with, I got obviously a number of friends who are Jets fans, and some of them are neurotic about it, and one of them was saying, you know, what are they going to do? So they're going to trade Sam and they'll draft Zach, and who's the backup? And I go, who cares who's the backup right now? That's what I said to them over the weekend. And I'll be honest, I'm sure they have an idea. They've been talking about trading Sam long enough to know what direction they're going to go. I don't know who it is yet. It's not a difficult position to fill. We'll see what direction they decide. I don't know the answer, but they'll bring in somebody that'll be very good for Zach Wilson.
Shefty, what are you hearing about who's going to be the 3rd quarterback off the board?
Oh, it'll be Matt Jones.
Shefty, in saying that, I get it. It makes sense. So I would imagine if it's Mac Jones, that means that Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be traded then?
No, not right now. I think, again, right now the plan would be for the 49ers to, again, if the draft were held today, they've got to go through the process and they've got to assess all the quarterbacks. I believe that in the end, they will pick Mac Jones at 3. That'll be the pick. And they will keep Jimmy Garoppolo this year. Now, look, could New England decide we're going to give you this and this on draft day or draft weekend, and the Niners make a decision to trade him? Yeah, that could be. But I can just tell you that their plan was they believe they've got a Super Bowl caliber roster, a playoff caliber roster, and that they want to draft a quarterback and have that guy sit on the bench, learn, get acclimated. Even though some people say Mac Jones is ready to play right away. And then, after the season, you move on from Jimmy. But a couple things. Number one, the roster is ready to win now, and they think a veteran is more capable of taking the team further right now. And number two, Jimmy Garoppolo has missed most of two of the past three seasons with injuries. So, again, you want him to leave the roster, but there are no assurances that he's even going to remain healthy. And so if he's not healthy, well, then you have the quarterback you draft at number three, who I believe ultimately will be Mac Jones.
Wow. Interesting stuff. Adam, we're going to let you run. I know this can be awkward. Rick, as you know, can be very shy. I'd like to try to facilitate the two of you guys going out for that sushi meal. Rick said it would be on him, and he would love to get that done. Is that something you're willing to do? Will you take it under consideration?
Absolutely.
At least?
Post-draft would be 100% my pleasure. We'll go grab lunch, dinner, whatever you want, Rick. You tell me what you want to do.
Well, it's up to you, Shefty. My treat.
We'll figure it out. You have my cell phone number, right?
No, I don't have it. We can set it up. I didn't want to be intrusive. We love having you on the show, and I know you love that sushi place. I love it too. So I figured it'd be the perfect opportunity for us to break some bread.
It'd be lovely.
Yeah, I'd be honored, and so I'll shoot you my cell on DM. I'm a 54 year old guy. I'll slide into your DMs, right? Is that a thing?
Perfect. Very well said. Very beautifully said, Adam. We appreciate it. We will talk to you soon. Thanks so much, as always, for coming on the show. Great stuff.
You guys have a great day. Thank you very much for having me.
Absolutely. That, of course, is Adam Schefter. You see what I do for you? You see?
Well, you made me uncomfortable because initially I thought that is not where
I was going to ask him about his boxers?
Well, I thought you were going to set me up to ask it.
No,
and you know,
because I'm not like that to you. I'm here to facilitate your greatness, and that's
like
what
I had to ask when I had to ask Ninkovich about Brady.
You set that up. But this, I wanted you to be able to have a meal with Adam. I think it'd be good for you. I think it'd be good for us. I think it'd be good for everybody.
You know what's amazing about Shefty?
I'm your friend.
Is the level of certainty he has when he answers these questions.
Right?
Right? I texted him, welcome to New York. And that was it. That was his whole answer.
The best part is, though, it's like you ask him a question. Like, he's at a point now where he's, like, he can just pick up the phone. He's like, hey, that's a question I have for Carolina. I'm going to call back. I'm going to call down there today.
Yeah, I'll call Matt. We'll get that done.
You know they're going to answer his call.
I'm going to call DT. Dave, he'll get me on the plane. We'll figure that out.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Rick, do you see what I do for you?
No, I'm not going to feed the beast. I know what you're doing here. I'm going to go with last question.
Should.
Like, I jump-started these three people's careers. This is what an egomaniac you are.
Look at what I've done. Look at what I've done. You, Shefty, man of his word, I will DM you my number and what just happened for you moments ago.
Shefty slid into the DMs.
There you go.
Yeah, well played by you. I should have given you more credit. I thought the second you said that Rick is shy and you don't want this to be uncomfortable,
right,
you're
going
to spring on me. He wants to ask you a question about his underwear situation.
I would not have done that to you. I'm a better teammate.
Not done that to me. You set me up the other day to admit that I cheated on a.
I did not. You just I didn't set you up at all to do that. You just did that on your own.
You knew I would fold.
I didn't realize you'd fold that beautifully. I'd do it all the time if I knew we were going to go there. All right, let's bring him in, Mike.
All of a sudden, you turned into Tom Cruise.
Yeah, it was really sensational, Mike. How are you? Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. Sorry to interrupt the conversation here.
Sorry you had to hear that. I apologize for that. So we have a lot to get to with you today. Did the Jets do well? A 2, a 4, and a 6 overall. Is this a win-win trade for the Panthers and the Jets?
I think so. I think it is. And look, their future, Zach Wilson, and you could certainly make a pretty coherent argument of why they should have kept Sam Darnold, but at the end of the day, I think from a team-building standpoint, you're better off with a clean slate. Zach Wilson's your guy, and you move forward. And, you know, when you look at it in a very sort of objective way, Sam Darnold just didn't play very well, and to get what they got for him, I think is pretty good value.
Mike, what about the timing of this? I mean, Shefty kind of insinuated that had the Jets gotten the first round pick that they were looking for, this deal would have been done whenever that was suggested. But now came the time where they got that second round pick, I think, next year, which kind of put them over the top. But I mean, the timing as far as Joe Douglas is concerned, there was nothing as far as like waiting to, get a chance to see Zach Wilson's medicals and stuff like that. Like if the deal was out there, he would have made the deal earlier.
Yeah, I think really at this point, guys, like the hay is in the barn, except for maybe some late information on security or medical update. Like the hay's in the barn. Teams know what they're going to be doing. So they have checked every box with Zach Wilson. They wouldn't have, finalized this trade if there was any doubt whatsoever what they're doing. And clearly it's Zach Wilson, and they're just moving forward. And I think they were just trying to get the best deal they could. And I think if you're Carolina, what you're saying is, And I may be, in the minority on this one, but I don't think you should rule out a quarterback at 8. But I think for them, this gives them certainty that they have now a quarterback to replace Teddy Bridgewater.
Mike, do you think that there will be a quarterback at 8 for Carolina? Because from everything, from all accounts, it seems like these quarterbacks are all going to come off the board fairly early this year.
Yeah, Chris, it's a great question. I just did a mock draft for ESPN, and I really struggled to try to figure out, because I like all 5 quarterbacks. I have them going to top 8. In my mock, I did have Justin Fields there at 8, but, that's certainly a 50-50 proposition at best. So I think, from a team-building standpoint, if you're Carolina and you like Sam Darnold, the price you just gave up is pretty reasonable from a standpoint of he's under contract for 2 years at roughly $23.6 million, and not knowing what's going to happen at 8, you want to take the bird in the hand.
Mike Tannenbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. So we know the Jets are going to take Wilson. That's pretty much a done deal now. You're the GM here on this show right now. Do you love him? I mean, do you look at Wilson and say, this is the right move? I love this guy. He's going to be a big-time quarterback in this league.
I do. I think he has a chance to be really special. I think this bears repeating, guys. If, as a GM, I always define the job as I'm the point guard of information. And if you guys walk into my office, I would have 2 columns. Column number 1 is Zach Wilson. Column number 2 is the following: Sam Darnold, this year's 12th pick, next year's 1st and 3rd, and in 2023, another 1st. That's really what Joe Douglas and the Jets just decided to do. And by the way, I understand why they did it. But that's really what you're saying is that's how much better they valued Zach Wilson over Sam Darnold.
Mike, how much do you think this has to do with, I mean, you mentioned fresh start, but how much of the finances with Sam Darnold, where he's at in his contract, had to do with this?
I don't think much of, if any, and here's why. You have a new head coach in Robert Saleh. You have, Joe Douglas, who's looking at this thing long term, and you're saying to yourself, who gives us the best chance to compete year in and year out with Josh Allen? How can we compete with the Buffalo Bills to win a championship? And I agree, the best chance is with Zach Wilson over Sam Darnold. Now, for me, Trey Lance would actually be part of that discussion, because the more you look at Trey Lance, the more intrigued I am. Now, he only played in 1 game this year, and that brings in a whole other discussion. But I think Trey Lance, of this group of players, the non-Trevor Lawrences, really has intriguing upside. But I totally understand the Zach Wilson decision.
Mike, we just had Shefty on, and he said that there really weren't any other teams that got involved with these talks with the Jets for Sam Darnold, like the Carolina Panthers. Nobody got as far as to discuss the parameters of a trade and what the compensation would look like. Are you a little bit surprised that there wasn't more, attention on Sam Darnold, in terms of those quarterback-starved teams looking to upgrade?
A little bit, Chris. Like, to me, it would be Denver, Houston, Chicago. I think those would have been 3 teams that would have given up, something of significance for Sam. So that's mildly surprising. But again, if you look at the body of work, it just hasn't been great. Now, he's young, he's high character, he has a ton of ability, but if you're another team and you got to give him the keys to the franchise, that's a heavy lift.
Mike Tannenbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. So you mentioned you have your mock draft up on ESPN.com and people can check it out there. I'm running through it, and none of the picks really surprised me all that much, Mike. And then I get to the Giants at 11. And I've heard really good things about this guy, but this was kind of the first pick you had in your mock draft. I was like, oh, really? That's very interesting. That's the kid out of Georgia, Olajuwon, right? I mean, give us – I've heard him start to be linked to the Giants, but just start to be. I don't think a lot of people know a lot about him. And give us a little insight into him, and do you really think the Giants go defense over offensive line or wide receiver in the first round?
Yeah, I do. I think they have to take a pressure player. You know, we'll see what, you know, O'Shane Jimenez comes back with. You know, Leonard Williams played better than we expected, but they need another pressure player in the front seven. Look, I think they've had a good offseason. Dory Jackson, Galladay, those are upgrades at positions that they absolutely had to. I think maybe they could get a good year out of Solder. Obviously, they've invested a lot in the offensive line. So, to me, it came down to Quiddy Pay, the pass rusher from University of Michigan, and Azeez Ojulari from Georgia. And if you go back and really carefully study the players that Joe Judge has been around in his career, the slight difference to me was Ojulari is a little bit better in terms of the potential to drop and a little bit better athletically in space. So when you have, I think Quiddy Pay is a really good pass rusher, but when you think about what Patrick Graham and Joe Judge want to do, that versatility was why I went with Ojulari. And he's a 3-4 old-fashioned pressure player that is a really good athlete. And I think based on what the Giants have done, adding him gives them a really productive offseason.
Mike, so San Francisco trades the two extra first-round picks to get up to three. Zach Wilson going two to the Jets. I think a lot of people are starting to try to connect dots, you know, what kind of, you know, quarterbacks have had success in Kyle Shanahan's system, and they keep, you know, Mac Jones' name keeps coming up. I mean, do you trade? I don't know how you feel about Mac Jones, but do you trade that much to get up to three to take Mac Jones? Like, do you feel like it's going to be Mac Jones at three?
I do, and I like Mac Jones a lot, and I think it's a really fair point, Rick, to sit here and say, hey, boy, that's a lot to give up for a guy that, you know, 2 months ago people are saying is, you know, whatever, 12 to 20. I think when you're a team and you're convicted about a player, like I've been in my career, you know, a couple years ago, obviously going back to the Jets with Mark Sanchez, and you have to pay X or Y, you're paying the bill and you're convicted in your process. And when you look at Kyle Shanahan, going back to Kirk Cousins and RG3 and Matt Schaub and Matt Ryan, I think Mac Jones really kind of fits some of those quarterbacks really well. And I've said since February, guys, that well before this trade, that the one player that Mac Jones reminds me of the most is Matt Ryan. And you go back to that Atlanta Super Bowl a couple of years ago, and who's the offensive coordinator? It's Kyle Shanahan. So, to me, connecting the dots, that makes a ton of sense.
Mike, what are the other positions of need for the Jets going into this draft? Like, we know that they're going to take a quarterback at two, but what's the next position that this team should prioritize in terms of addressing with their draft capital?
I think it's offensive line, Chris. And look, I know they signed Mekhi Becton last year and some other guys like Van Roten and Fan. I don't think they played that well. And I think you're going to have a guy like Zach Wilson. It's offensive line, offensive line, offensive line. And then similar to the Giants, I think the Jets need a real pressure player in the front seven. Hopefully Quinn Williams continues to develop. But they need a guy that could go win one-on-one. And, you know, you look at the system that Coach Salah came from in San Francisco. And again, we're talking about the best in the league, but the depth they were able to amass at the D-line was really impressive. And I think both lines and then maybe corner after that, Chris, is where I would start for the Jets.
Mike, a couple of things I want to know from you. Firstly, you're a boxers guy or no?
Yeah, for the most part, you know, I have a little flexibility, you know, I'm somewhat open-minded.
I like that. That's fair.
Commando, but, I mean, you're not opposed. That's code for commando.
Oh, really? Really?
Gets hot in Florida, Dave. Gets hot.
Wow. A little schwitzy down there. Ah, interesting. Very nice. All right. And secondly, and maybe this will, you know, help us with the second one. Tell me a little bit about the why you're so peppy and energized this morning.
Because I'm drinking X2, which is an all-natural healthy drink, which works in Florida, New York. It has all-natural sugar, and it gives you natural, sustained energy with no jitters, no crashes. X2Performance.com, and appreciate you asking.
I truly believe you love coming on the show.
I do. I feel like I'm hanging out with three buddies. There's no doubt about it. you know, there's some things we got to clean up, like puncture alley, but there's no doubt I love coming on the show.
We were right there today for you. We were right on time.
Yeah, I mean, at 7:36, I mean, for, you know, DCR standards, you guys are actually early.
Wow.
We set the bar so low.
Yeah. All right, Mike, we appreciate you. Enjoy those boxers, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.